Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 276. So this is 1 Kings chapter 3 and some of 2 Chronicles. And, you know, I love this reading. Solomon is asking for wisdom, but the thing that stood out to me right away was verse 1. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. It says it in passing, just as a matter of record, but it just struck me because things have really come full circle, haven't they? I mean, the Israelites escaped from Egypt so long ago, and now they have built up a great nation, and he's actually marrying the daughter of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is just a name that they use for the current king of Egypt, whoever it is. So it's just a title, really. But that really struck a chord with me, how full circle everything has come. And marriage between royal families was common practice back then because it would hopefully create peace between what might otherwise have become rival nations. It was kind of like keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, that sort of thing. So I'm sure that that was a very strategic move on Solomon's part. And it might have seemed like a good idea to create that alliance through marriage. However, we will see as we get into this story a little more that eventually this marriage, and he will have other marriages, and it will all lead to horrible unintended consequences. And just because I almost didn't want to tell you what happens, but my study Bible says so well, it explains it so well, and I'm afraid it might not do that again later when we get to it in the storyline. So let me just read you this. It says, these relationships become inroads for pagan ideas and practices. Solomon's foreign wives, see, he'll have more than just one. Of course, he's a king. That's sort of what they do. Brought their gods, but these wives brought their gods to Jerusalem and eventually lure him into idolatry. So this is a good lesson for us. It's easy to minimize religious differences in order to encourage the development of a friendship. When you're young and in love, you may be idealistic, minimizing religious differences as something you can work out. Testify. Yes. I can speak to that. What can seem small in a friendship or a marriage or a relationship will have an enormous impact upon a marriage. The reality is that God gives us standards to follow for all our relationships, including marriage, for our own good. If we follow God's will, we will not be lured away from our true focus. I can testify to that. You know, when you're young and in love, you know, I asked my husband if he was a Christian, and he said yes, and that was good enough for me. He was cute, he was a good person, and he believed in God. And I didn't really go into it that much further, and when you're young, you just don't really know to be honest. I just didn't know, and I didn't realize that my faith would grow so much, and that things would evolve and change, and that would become a block for us. It became quite a difficulty for us in our marriage for quite some time when I was growing in my faith and my husband wasn't. And that was difficult. So it sort of put a wall between us. So you have to do that so very carefully. Okay, so that was just really interesting to me, this marriage and how that will play out. We'll see. But verse 3 says very clearly, I love this, it says, Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. And I thought, why is that a big deal? Well, okay. According to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, God's law was pretty specific about where they were allowed to offer sacrifices. So here's the scripture. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere you like. You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose within one of your tribal territories. There you must offer your burnt offerings and do everything I command you. So it was really specific, and they were just kind of having them wherever. They were doing their sacrifices wherever. And this was to prevent people from doing things their own way instead of under the watchful eye of the priests who were trained to do it God's way. And unfortunately, this could allow, you know, God didn't want this because it could lead to sin. It could allow pagan practices and false teachings to creep in to their ceremonial practices during sacrifices. So it's a big deal. God honors Solomon's prayer anyways, but he does not condone those sacrifices, and that's why. But he's basically saying, Solomon, you're still my guy. I know you've got a good heart. I know that you mean well. It's clear that Solomon loves God, and he's seeking to grow in knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. And you see such humility in him. I love it. And David sort of had that, but I don't believe he had it quite to the extent that Solomon did. Verse 5 in 1 Kings chapter 3. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Why do you think the Lord did that? Why do you think he just appeared and asked Solomon? Because Solomon wasn't doing everything perfect, right? It wasn't, God didn't ask him, hey, what's the desire of your heart? I want to give it to you as a reward because he was doing so great. He was a good king. Things were going good, but he wasn't perfect. He was sinning in the way that he was doing his sacrifices, but God knows what he's dealing with, and we are just mere mortals, and we make stupid mistakes, and he has mercy because he knows the work that will be done through Solomon and how great his kingdom will be, and this is part of the covenant that God made with his people to keep someone on the throne in the line of David. So, he's appearing to Solomon in a dream, and I think possibly to test him, to see what Solomon wants. What is the desire of his heart? Right? So Solomon replies to God, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you, and you have continued this," he says, I'm paraphrasing, "you've continued this on for me now as I sit on the throne. And God, you've made me king now instead of my father." And for 2 Chronicles, by the way, just repeated that, and it kind of changed the wording of that, because it says, instead of my father. It seems like God replaced David with Solomon, but we know it was a natural transition that David died and that Solomon took the lead role as king of Israel. So, he says, now Solomon is saying to God in verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" I love this. He is so humble. He doesn't assume that he has all the answers. He doesn't, he's not prideful at all. A lot of people would get into, and I'm sure in the case of his older brother, Adonijah, when he got up to be king, I'm sure it would be much more of the tone of, "I'm king now, I'm in charge, this is the way things are going to be." And I'm sure, you know, that's why God chooses who he chooses, because he knows what's in their heart. He knows the desires of their heart. And now we know too, because Solomon expresses it so clearly. He doesn't rely on his own understanding. Right? I love that. So, Proverbs 11:2 is a good scripture that goes along with this. "Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And verse 10 says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom," because he could have asked for a lot of other things, right? God replies, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or death of your enemies, which, by the way, David, his father, did all the time, didn't he? He was always praying for vengeance and for God to take action against his enemies. He focused on it a little too much. He was obsessed over it. And even though God did great things through David, that sort of answers some questions of maybe why David had to go through so much, right? And it's clear, I always kind of wondered why that was okay with God. I mean, it was good for David to be specific, but it seemed kind of strange that he was always requesting vengeance for his enemies, because the Bible also says that vengeance belongs to God. And David knew that, but I don't know, it just didn't seem right. But here, this is confirmation of what our spirit tells us, and that is that, you know, God doesn't love it when we do that, right? He says, you could have asked for death of your enemies, but you didn't. It pleased him so much that Solomon asked for wisdom. So how do we get wisdom? You know, this should remind us that we too can ask for wisdom from God. I'll get to that in just a second, but first, you know, I love God's response. He says, because I see what's in your heart, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever had or will ever have. So Solomon will be very wise. Not only that, though, God is so pleased with him at this point. He says, and I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. The more we want it, even if we're pretending, God knows if we're pretending, okay? He knows our heart. So if we're coming at it like, gosh, I would love to be rich and famous, but you know, I can't come to that God with that, so I'm going to say this to God, and he likes those words. No, he knows what's in your heart. He knows what you seek. He knows your desires. And he knows from Solomon. And he's going to give him even more than he asked for. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Love it. I want to read something from my study Bible that goes along with this. It says, Solomon asked for wisdom, not wealth, but God gave him riches and long life as well. While God does not promise riches to those who follow him, he gives us what we need if we put his kingdom, his interests, and his principles first. Now, Matthew 6:33 says, and I'm going to read this King James Version because it's beautiful and because I know those words. I remember them from a song when I was younger. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then I want to add, alleluia, alleluia, because that's in the song. And you know, I was thinking, I wasn't going to sing the song to you. Maybe you've heard it, but I was thinking in my recordings, I would love to be able to end with a song. When I come across scripture that is also a song, I would love to be able to add that. So I'm going to try, I'm technically challenged, you know, but I'm going to try to recruit my husband and my son, my family IT guys, and I'm going to ask for their help to get to know a recording software and how to incorporate songs also in my recordings, and also edit, because that would make things so much easier. Although I think that it's been good for you to see or to hear imperfection in my recordings. I got to go with that because I haven't felt like learning it. okay, so we see that Solomon comes with the right heart, and that's what God loves. We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will give us all the desires of our heart if those desires are for the right things, for the right reasons. And James 1:5 reminds us that we too can ask God for wisdom. We can pray for that. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now, that's the New Living Translation, what we're reading, but I found it in the NIV. That's the one that I was more familiar with. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, if you want to open up the Bible and understand more of what you read, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. You just have to have the right heart and ask Him for it. If it doesn't come naturally, I've done that several times. Because Lord knows I need some wisdom. So anyways, I just love this lesson. I love that neither David or Solomon are perfect, but God knows their heart and He can work with that, you know? And this is great lesson for us in humility. And don't think that we know everything, because we don't. Lean not on your own understanding. God's ways are not our ways. We should always seek Him first. We should seek His will in our life. We should be praying for our children, that more for their maturity and growth in relationship with the Lord and Savior, that they will come to rely on Him throughout life. Unfortunately, the way for that to happen oftentimes is through trials. So be wary of how you pray for your kids, because this is important. David recognized that in Solomon, and he gave him advice that that was very important, and that that relationship was more important than anything. And it seems Solomon has taken to heart those words of his father, and that spiritual inheritance is first and foremost what he cares about at this point. So I love that. That's definitely a lesson to us. I think when we think about it, just to put it simply, when we're raising our children, we need to train them from the inside out, not the outside in, right? We're always trying to make sure they look good, they have clean clothes, they have a proper haircut, they don't use bad words. Of course, that's good, but instead of punishing the bad, instead you just teach them from the outside, from the inside out, so that it just naturally doesn't, you know? They need to think about it themselves. They need to get the words of God, and the Holy Spirit needs to saturate the marrow in their body, and they'll be okay, regardless of what happens. But you can be sure they'll have trials. And so instead of focusing so much on what their college resume will look like, I just think we'll do better to focus on what their person is like, and their spirit, and their heart, and what kind of solid person they are, and will they go to God when they're in trouble? Because that's what really matters, and everything will turn out fine if we have that as the starting block, right? The foundation. Anyways, that's it. That's my soapbox. This was a great lesson. I loved it. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.